Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is dealing with the subject of spiritual gifts. He has helped us to understand the function of spiritual gifts by comparing it to the human body. The human body is an amazing creation with an amazing design by God. And it has all these different parts, and all of them have their own particular function. And all of them are needed. All of them have something important to contribute to the welfare of the body. And if each one takes its assignment, they don't all have a separate will, of course, like we do, but if each one fulfills its assignment according to its design, the body's going to be healthy. The body's going to be vibrant. The body's going to be highly functional. But if certain members of the body stop functioning like they were designed, then the person who has that body without all the members functioning is going to have some serious handicaps. And they can be, well, the handicaps can be anywhere from mild to extremely severe. But nevertheless, there's no such thing as a dysfunctioning part that doesn't negatively affect the body in some way. And likewise, in the body of Christ, every Christian, every member of the body has been designed by God for a particular function, placed in the body for the welfare of the body. And when that person functions according to God's design, he contributes, he or she contributes to the well-being of the body. And together with the other members contributing their part to the well-being of the body functions to the glory of God, and a great deal is accomplished. But when there are one or more members that either are not willing to function or get themselves in spiritual difficulty so that they're not able to function as they were designed, then the body suffers. And the suffering of the body, the liability of the body, is far greater than most people realize. And that's what Paul is telling us in this last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we will continue looking at it on this Wednesday, March 30. Thank you for gathering together with us for the broadcast today, and thank you for helping us with the cost to keep this ministry on the station. God assigns the gifts, back to spiritual gifts in verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Now, we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 12, but I think I need to jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, where the same function, the same list of gifts is given, though with some slight variations. I read it on the broadcast yesterday, but I'll go back to it today. He tells us in verse 11, and he himself, that is Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Well, we can see that these four gifts that are mentioned in verse 11 contribute to the welfare of the body. We see that parallel to what we found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts are given by Christ to the church for the healthy operation of the body of Christ. And we have that same concept here. But what's interesting in Ephesians 11, I think, is that here we find four, and we might call them offices. They're not, that term is not used here, but in 1 Corinthians 12, they are in the same category as gifts listed in a listing of gifts, and they're right along with it. And so let's think of it as gifts. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we find there are four of them, whereas 1 Corinthians 12 only names three of the four that Ephesians names. So in going to Ephesians 4, I am looking at basically the same list, but I'm seeing a little bit more added to it, and I'll go back to it. And he himself, Christ himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, the question is, are all four of these in operation today? Or are some of them given for a temporary purpose, a temporary assignment, and then withdrawn when they are no longer needed? And I would suggest to you that the first two were temporary by God's design, and the last two are continuing by God's design. And part of the reason I say that is because earlier in the Ephesian epistle, we read this: "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built." This is something that has happened in the past, basically, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Here, the body of Christ is likened to a building, a spiritual temple, and the construction terms are very helpful because we are told that this building has a foundation. And there are three elements that are mentioned as being in the foundation. Jesus Christ is in the foundation, and he's the chief cornerstone. When foundations were constructed in that day of a sizable building, they were generally huge rocks that were carefully quarried and cut to the right measurement and cut very carefully to have the right angles so that they could be laid in the foundation side by side to establish the foundation. In our day, we generally have foundations that are poured. We have ready-mix concrete, and we can dig a trench and fill that trench with concrete, generally put in some reinforcement bars, known as rebars, in that to strengthen the cement. But we can pour a foundation. That gives us a lot more flexibility. We can pour it into the mold of the trench that we have constructed for the foundation. Well, in that day, they didn't have that capability, obviously. So they laid these blocks in the trench, trench, I guess the best word for it, where the foundation was going to be laid. And we're told that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and the cornerstone was the most important stone in the foundation because from that particular corner, all the other measurements were made. So from that corner, carefully out from one direction would be laid the stones that would go in one direction and out from the other direction would go the stones that would go out in the other direction. And as the building was built up, it too would be calibrated in connection with that cornerstone, which was the most important stone in the foundation. That stone determined the proper angle of everything else in that building as the building went up. Christ is that one. He is the chief cornerstone. But what is the rest of the foundation? Apostles and prophets. Why? Well, because to get them was given the Word of God, the New Testament Scriptures. And so the foundation is really Jesus Christ and His Word, but it was the apostles and prophets that God used to deliver the Word. So think of that foundation as being made up of all these stones, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and then the other stones that are laid out on that foundation are the apostles and prophets. But as we know, in a building construction, once the foundation is laid, it's laid. Then you start building upon it, building up, up, up. And the analogy there is given to us in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which every member is a stone, a living stone, as Peter tells us, because we're talking about a living temple. We're talking about not a non-living structure, a temple, but a living temple. But nevertheless, this analogy holds true. And every member is a brick, think of it, in the building, and there can be thousands of those. There can be millions of those. But they all rest upon the foundation of Christ and the apostles and the prophets. And as we know, when a building is constructed, once the foundation is laid, it's laid. You don't lay the foundation and then put in a few rows of stones and then lay another foundation and put in a few more rows of stones. In this analogy, the foundation once laid is not repeated, but on top of that foundation, the building can go on to an amazing degree, depending on how it is designed. And if it was designed to be a several-story building, then the foundation would be constructed to accommodate that. And the building goes up one story upon another story upon another story upon another story. It can go up and up and up and up and up, but it doesn't matter how many stories there are. That's all according to the design of the architect, but it doesn't matter how many stories there are. There's only one foundation. And once the foundation is laid, it's not laid again. And carrying that analogy through, I think it's pretty clear, therefore, that in the temple, the living temple, which is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles and prophets, along with Christ Jesus, are laid once and not repeated. Christ goes back to heaven. He rules from there, dispensing His word, empowering His messengers, but He's not here present on earth in this construction, as are prophets and apostles are no longer on earth in this construction. But what is here? Evangelists and pastors, who are known here as pastor/teachers. They continue on. One dies and God raises up another one. There will always be evangelists. There will always be pastor teachers until the building is complete. But there will not always be apostles and prophets because the foundation has already been completed. That's very helpful to me, and I hope it will be to you. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.